to be perfectly honest, I wish I was sleeping. But I'm not. I'm here, which means we're going to celebrate the fact that it's nearly Friday. It's the start of week 11 in the NFL. We've got Mike Tyson slapping people. We've got college football on the horizon. We've got all kinds of cool stuff to talk about, including, are you ready? First time with producer Pete. He's not experienced this before, so I don't know what he's going to think of the Hall of Flame. It is, for the first time in forever, honestly, I think we've only done one Hall of Flame induction this year. For the first time in months, and certainly for the first time since producer Pete joined us, it is time for you to select the next inductee to the After Hours Hall of Flame. And I know we have new listeners, of course, over the last few months, people who have no idea what I'm talking about. Well, quite a while ago, gosh, I think this goes back to maybe the first year that I was hosting five nights a week here on After Hours. I meant to say Hall of Fame. You know me. I frequently add letters, add syllables, intersperse syllables, make up words, all that kind of stuff. Mouth and brain, not always in sync. That's a job hazard when you talk for a living overnight. I said Hall of Flame instead of Hall of Fame. And for that reason, we came up with a brand new feature that's probably my favorite on the entire network. With my apologies to anybody else who does cool stuff here on the network. The entire network, I think my favorite thing, the most creative element, is our Hall of Flame, where we play what we think are some qualified candidates, and you get to determine which one is immortalized in our Hall of Flame. And one of my favorite parts is that we go back and let you hear some of the crazy pieces of audio and inductees in the past. So if you've missed it or you have no idea what I'm talking about, it's coming on this edition of After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Again, producer Pete's first time, so we'll see whether or not he's in. Is he in or is he out? Here's the thing about producer Pete and everyone else who works at the company. They all know my holiday schedule. Would you like to know why? Because I committed the cardinal sin of office politics or office etiquette on Thursday. Pete, I did a reply all to only 80 people with my holiday schedule. Man, it's a good thing I wasn't talking about my future career plans in that email, huh? Like asking for a raise or something along those lines with my contract coming to an end. Instead, I did the reply all. I thought it was an email that came just from David and you, so I replied to both of you. Except I replied to both of you and about 78 other people.
Oh, it's
terrific.
Nothing wrong with everyone knowing your schedule.
No, there's a lot wrong with it. It's embarrassing. So the second I realized it, what happened is I got a few reply emails indicating, well, server emails indicating that some of the email addresses were defunct. And I thought, wait a minute, I didn't write to that person. Who is this person? And then I looked and I realized, don't! I did the office faux pas of reply all.
Well, like I said to you.
Embarrassing.
Well, like I said to you when you told me this, and when I saw this, at least you didn't send out your social security number.
That's true. Good point. I didn't write anything in there that I wouldn't want. Well, I don't want the whole world to know, but that I would survive the whole world knowing. That's actually my advice to young broadcasters or anyone I speak to, college athletes, about how to handle social media and the internet. Even photos, right? If whatever you post, you could survive the whole world seeing or reading, then okay.
Right.
But if that post or that photo gets to the information superhighway and becomes viral, and you would either die of mortification or it would bury you, your career, get you kicked out of school, whatever, don't send it. Even if it's to a private DM, or even it's to a friend over text message, do not send anything electronically that you will not survive the whole world knowing about.
If you can't justify it, if you can't explain
it,
if you can't explain it, then don't write it.
Oh, I don't know. Sometimes I think even that is not a great excuse. Like, in our political climate that we're in, a lot of times, even if you can't explain, oh, it was a mistake, I didn't mean to write that, it was an accident, we've had people fired in our broadcast industry for what they say were accidental use of words, whether in emails or on the air. I guess I survived because it's only my holiday schedule, but I did get a few replies from fellow employees who found it highly amusing. Great.
It's a very good holiday schedule.
Thank you. At least now there are no questions about it.
That's right.
At least I wasn't nasty. I don't write nasty emails anyway, but at least it wasn't something that would get me in trouble.
Well, it makes my job easier putting together schedules.
You're welcome. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence at A-Law Radio. If you have some way to make me feel better by sharing your cardinal sin of an office faux pas, the worst thing you've done as an employee, well, I could use a little support and encouragement right now, so I'm still fairly embarrassed. On our Facebook page, as well as on Twix, we've got the After Hours Game of the Week poll. It's already up. In fact, I think we've already received a good 500 votes. And the reason we did it early is not only because we wanted to see how many people we could rope into our poll. We track these things, you know. But really, the most important thing is that we wanted to include the Eagles and Commanders. This big NFC East clash on Thursday Night Football on Amazon Prime. And I dare say that I feel a little bit smarter. Not so smart after the cardinal sin in the reply all category. But when it comes to football, I was talking about the Commanders on our last show and what I needed to see from Jaden Daniels and his offense. And I was thinking back to the game against Pittsburgh last weekend, and they started fast. The Commanders were able to move the football in that first quarter. They got an initial touchdown, and then in the midsection of the game, around halftime, I believe, they had three straight scoring drives. What buried the Commanders against the Steelers is that the fourth quarter was a mess. Let's not go overboard and call it a disaster, but it wasn't their best football. And the offense really dried up. What I needed to see from the Commanders in this game is a strong start, sure. Potentially to keep the Eagles fans a little quieter, that they were, although I don't know how much of it was about the Commanders. The Eagles offense was made me stick a fork in my eye in the first half. It was bad. Let's blame Jake Elliott. Sure, he missed a couple of field goals, but how about don't settle for field goals? Get your rear end into the end zone. They really could not move the ball effectively in the first half. And so the Eagles fans were quiet as it was. The Commanders able to take advantage of that, getting the first touchdown on the board.
First and goal at the one for Washington. Robinson to the left, Eckler to the right of Daniels in the gun. Snap, handoff, Robinson up the middle. He won't get there. Stop. And now the secondary push counts. Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! They had him stood up at the one, and they got their own tush push to knock him home.
The refusal to beat the dog. You thought you had him, but no. I love the physicality and the finish by the offensive line. Sam Cosmi, Nick Allegretti, Tyler Biotis, Andrew Wiley, all of the crew not allowing B-Rod to be stood up at the one-yard line finishing in the end zone of the Philadelphia Eagles.
If you wondered who the offensive linemen are for the Washington Commanders, at least on that play, that's Commanders Radio. And yes, Brian Robinson back, able to get the second effort as well as the help. A little help from your friends is never a bad thing. And the Commanders have the first touchdown on the board, plus a 7-3 lead at the break. So that was part of the equation. Get a better start than your opponent. Make sure you're able to put some points on the board. The issue is, once again, not a strong finish. Now, they got a touchdown on the board in the final few seconds, although for the life of me, I didn't understand where the sense of urgency went for Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury and the Commanders' offense. It felt like they were out on the field for a Sunday drive late in the fourth quarter. It seemed like there was no hurry up, no sense of urgency, no care about preserving the clock or getting out of bounds or rushing up to the line of scrimmage. That's a question for another day. But the Commanders, once again, did not finish strong. When the game was still hanging in the balance, there were mistakes. When the game was still hanging in the balance, they get stopped on fourth down, a dubious decision at best, even for an aggressive coach who does generally go for it when it comes to fourth down versus punting, or in this case, kicking a field goal. That's what a lot of coaches do, but a tough position to put your team in. And then very next offensive possession, an interception. So the Commanders' defense was able to hold the Eagles at bay for quite a while, but you can only ask them to do so much. There have got to be points on the board, and especially on the road in a critical division rivalry game. Yeah, you're going to need to finish stronger than that. So we'll go through the various key points, key moments of this game between the Eagles and the Commanders. But that's six in a row for Philadelphia. And coming up in our final hour, about 3 hours from now, a little more than 3 hours from now, I hope he's sleeping at this point, our friend John Kincaid, we actually name dropped on our last show because he's been 1 year cancer free. We're so happy for him, so excited for him. He was at the game a few hours ago. And we'll talk to him about the Eagles and what we've seen from them and from their new bell cow, Saquon Barkley. He's over 1,000 yards. In fact, he's well over 1,000 yards this season. Only needed 9 yards to reach that plateau in this game and got that in the first half. So 10th game of the year, he's already over 1,000 yards. Saquon has been healthy, happy, motivated, and certainly impactful with the Eagles. And the amount of pressure that he takes off of Jalen Hurts, they've got different looks from their backfield, whether it be Kenneth Gainwell, whether it be Saquon. He can catch a ball and run through traffic, and certainly he takes advantage of tired defenses when he gets that opportunity. But the Commanders did hold the 7-3 lead at the break. And the Eagles had yet to find a rhythm. So sure, missed field goals, that's one thing. But to be unable to take advantage of your possessions, we hadn't seen this from the Eagles a ton. Although there have been a couple of games in this win streak where they've kind of barely scraped by. Or, I guess the opposite has been the case. They've racked up a ton of yards and then turned the ball over. People point to their schedule as part of the reason why they've got the 8-2 record now. Now, I say a win is a win is a win is a win. But if you're wondering about this stretch where they've won 6 games in a row, the Browns, losing record. The Giants, losing record. The Bengals, losing record. The Jaguars, losing record. The Cowboys, losing record. This game against the Commanders, the first one in that 6-week stretch in which they've beaten a team with a winning record. So I still say they have a higher ceiling and their offense can play better, but I do like the way they surged in the second half.
Three receivers slot to the near side of the field. They have to get to the 46. Back goes Hurts. Hurts looks, dumps it over the middle. Complete. Barkley, 50, 45, 40, 35, 30, 25, 20. Down to the 16. Barkley!
Little dump off to Saquon Barkley and watch what he's able to do. It's fantastic. He makes the first guy miss, and then he's just using that speed to get down into the red zone.
Hurts under center. Hurts snakes, and it is a touchdown. The Eagles score and take the lead. For Jalen Hurts,
that's more like
the 11th touchdown he has scored.
Cheating reading just a little bit, but giving you a couple of plays in which the Eagles were able to make some noise. Saquon Barkley goes 43 yards on a catch and run and sets them up in field goal range. This time Jake Elliott comes through. Then, early in the fourth quarter, it's another rushing touchdown for Jalen Hurts. Though, to be fair, of his 11, I think he has 11 now, I haven't counted. I'll bet you more than half of them are the one-yard variety with the tush push. The calls with Merrill Reese and Mike Quick on Eagles radio. So in consecutive possessions, they're able to put points on the board. Now, I will be honest. When Jake Elliott missed the extra point, I thought, rut-row, they're only up by two. That plus the missed field goals. You're talking about leaving 7 points out there on the field. I thought that might come back to bite the Eagles in the rear end pun intended, while we're talking about tush pushes. I thought it might be something that bit him in the ass. But the plot thickens. Da, 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 da. On the very next drive, the Commanders get themselves into field goal range. And this decision I do not get. Aggressive is one thing. Aggressive to the detriment of your team isn't the idea to win the game. Well, you can't win the game if you don't have points. If you don't use the possessions that you've got and take the points when they're staring you in the face.
They need almost 2 yards instead of trying for a game-changing field goal that would give them a one-point lead. They're going to go on 4th and 2. Daniels under center. Daniels puts a man in motion. Daniels is back. He's being chased. He's running. He's being pushed. He's knocked out of bounds. The Eagles take over on downs. The Eagles take over on downs. 3rd down and 3. They've got to get to the 20. Can they get to the 20? Hurts. Barkley to his left. Slot to the near side. Wing to the near side. Hurts. Barkley. 1st down. 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Barkley. There it is, 23-yard explosion.
That's the one they needed.
Saquon Barkley able to finish up what the Eagles defense started. I don't get it. There, again, it's one thing to be aggressive, and that certainly is a hallmark of many coaches in the NFL in 2024. But you're trailing by two. The Eagles gift-wrapped to you a missed extra point so you can take the lead. Now, does that mean you're going to win? No. But it puts the onus back on Philadelphia. Instead, it's a broken play. It never looked like it had a chance, actually, if you watch it. It was a bobbled snap. Maybe, just maybe, an offensive lineman touched it as it was on its way to Jaden Daniels. Seemed like someone else had a hand in it or on it. And then instead of maybe going forward, because he doesn't have the ball, instead of just going directly north-south, if that was the plan, he kind of has to make it up. And he loops around the outside to the right. And even though he's got some speed and a little momentum, he gets knocked out of bounds. He doesn't have the angle. He can't turn upfield. And gets knocked out of bounds a couple yards shy. And that leads to Saquon Barkley's first rushing touchdown. Dan Quinn, why go for the first down when you had the 3 points on the foot of your kicker?
Biggest play, obviously, to go for it and 4th down and 2 at the 26. Bold call, but I would also say we were prepared for that moment. Don't love the execution, but we've been an excellent 4th down team. So going into it, we knew we'd have to take our shots. Against a tough division team on the road. We thought that was an appropriate one. Certainly don't like the execution and the result, but we were prepared for that and being bold into those moments, knowing we'd have some 4th downs. But that's one we can fix.
I mean, I trust the coaching staff and the decision they make. I'm always a part of, hey, let's go for it. You know, I trust my teammates. I trust the unit. So I always trust the coaches. I never question them. I got to be louder with the cadence. So I take fault on that. Tyler probably didn't hear me, so it was the delay with the little snap. So it gets loud down there. You know, we're under center, especially in that type of situation, that part of the game. So I just have to be louder.
Well, congratulations, Eagles fans. I know you woke up there in the fourth quarter which was much more of a landslide for Philadelphia. So the Eagles surge. Maybe that's a sign of a veteran team, a veteran quarterback. While the Commanders fall flat again in the fourth quarter against their two toughest opponents on back-to-back weeks. Against the Steelers, you may remember in the final 2 minutes of that one, Washington also stopped short on fourth down. That was the Zach Ertz play. Now, he was there. But if you remember, Minkah Fitzpatrick and another Steelers defender folded him up and didn't allow him to stretch himself and the ball over the first down line. And so they were stopped on fourth down in that one as well. And then you had the jump off sides or jump into the neutral zone on the fourth and one for the Steelers. Man, fourth downs have not been good to these Commanders in the last couple of weeks. But these were their two toughest opponents. They are still a team on the rise. They're still a young team. Dan Quinn and his coaching staff still building culture. They certainly have given their fans a ton to be excited about. But right now, the Eagles are farther down that road than Washington. We'll get back to the Eagles and their treasure, Saquon Barkley. Not sure if you saw what one Eagles defender said after the game. He thanked New York. I'll tell you about that coming up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Eckler, the single setback. Motion to the far side of the field. On first down, Daniels goes back. He lets it fly. It's intercepted. It's intercepted by Blankenship. I believe he caught it.
Yes. Reed Blankenship.
His third.
Outstanding job of scooping this ball up. He's trying to decide whether to get up and try and run or just be okay with the interception.
And the defense is celebrating in the end zone. Hurts under center. He goes with a pitch to Barkley. Barkley across the 30. 25, 20, 15, 10. Goodbye!
Hello.
Another one.
Hello. Hello.
He's 40 yards. 40
he's,
yards.
He's unbelievable. And, you know, it starts with this offensive line. They create such a big hole for him. But then once he gets to the second level, it's look out. He finds his way to pay dirt once again.
4:38 remaining, and the Eagles have taken this game and broken it apart.
They just blew this thing open.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
It is. It so is. Thank you, voice God. Saquon Barkley, a pair of rushing touchdowns in the fourth quarter for the Philadelphia Eagles. Are you ready for these numbers? Listen to this. These are some hefty numbers. Some impactful numbers. On this night, 146 yards rushing and another 52 yards receiving, meaning that he's just shy of 200 total yards from scrimmage. He has surpassed Derrick Henry by just a few yards. And of course, they've played their 10 games, right? So Saquon and the Eagles haven't yet. Oh, wait, though, they've had their bye because we're week 11. They've had their bye, but he's played 10 games. And he is just in front of Derrick Henry when it comes to total yards or total rushing yards. 1137 in 10 games, while Derrick Henry has 1120, and Steelers Ravens is on the horizon. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Merrill Reese, Mike Quick on Eagles Radio. Whereas Barkley was able to find that room to run and had three big chunk plays in this one, it was interesting to see what was missing from the Commanders. Did you notice that Austin Eckler was their leading receiver? Now, he can certainly catch passes. That's part of his appeal. But then Zach Ertz is the second leading receiver. Again, also, nice player. He's got a pretty sweet resume in the NFL, but not a receiver. So your top two receivers in this game for the Commanders are actually not receivers. And your wide receiver one, Terry McLaurin, is held to one catch for 10 yards. The numbers aren't terrible for Jaden in terms of his accuracy, but there were a couple of moments where he missed. Guys weren't on the same page. He was feeling some pressure. Only 3 official sacks, but ends up under 200 yards. Not a whole lot of room to run either. And yeah, for Nick Sirianni, his defense limiting Terry McLaurin was massive.
First and foremost, Terry McLaurin is a phenomenal football player. Man, I liked him coming out. When I was in Indy, he's an Indianapolis kid. We did a lot of work on him and just really think the world of him, the player, the person. He's been awesome in his career. With that being said, I think our guys did a nice job going against him. I think it started up front. We were able to get some pressure on the quarterback and force some scrambles, and we did a good job plastering on some of those scrambles, but just good team defense.
Vic and their group's got a good group. You know, they played aggressive and go, and we'll be back at them again in 5 or 6 weeks. So, and we'll get plenty of chances to look at it. But this one, just not being delivering like we were really ready to go fight for it. And when you don't do that, obviously you're pissed and you're bummed.
Vic Fangio rides again, now the Eagles defensive coordinator. Now, certainly the Eagles had their own issues. One of those being the 3 missed kicks by Jake Elliott. And Nick Sirianni said, hey, I just told him, you'll get another chance. Go out and fight another day, if you will. We believe in you. He actually said, I told Jake the same thing I would tell a guy after a drop pass or a fumble or an interception. Ultimately, though, to see the way the Eagles surged and the way the Commanders did not, again, that last touchdown that they scored, they did have the 2-point conversion after review and then an onside kick attempt, but I didn't feel the sense of urgency there. Didn't feel like a hurry up. It actually didn't feel like the Commanders thought they could win the game being down 16 points. So we'll just go ahead and work on our offense in these late stages where the game's no longer up for grabs. I didn't love what we saw from them in terms of preserving clock. But I did like what I saw from the Eagles. Maybe it's true. Maybe it's not true. It's probably only situationally true that it's not how you start. It's how you finish. But the Eagles, Jalen Hurts, definitely finished a lot stronger.
A ton of perseverance out there today. It took everyone as a team, and it comes down to winning. Winning is the main thing. It will always be the main thing. And it takes what it takes, regardless of how it looks, what you have to go through to get it. We'll grow through this situation and this experience in the game. Win, lose, or draw, we want to grow from every situation. But to be able to stay at it, find a way, stick together, that was pleasing.
Anytime you can get a win in this league, it's huge.
Yeah, buddy.
And that's a good opponent. So much respect for the coaches on that opposite team and the players on that Washington team. Again, so much respect for Coach Quinn. He's done an unbelievable job. So we knew we had to be on it today. And so we played a good opponent on a short week. And it was big to get a win.
Hey, Producer Pete, I feel like this would be a great knockout question. Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley. Because each has made a pretty incredible, impressive impact on their new teams.
And there's many ways you could put that, either this year or you could put it career-wise.
Long time? Well, that's true, but I'm thinking more about this year.
Okay.
Marco, which one's had the greater impact?
Derrick Henry. Saquon has definitely added a major element and given the Eagles something they haven't had and they needed, obviously, in last year, how much they had sputtered. But I think the impact of what Derrick Henry allows the Ravens to do, especially in the fourth quarter, to take over a game, which is where they've really struggled in the past, where they need to put the ball on the ground and not in Lamar Jackson's hand and actually dominate in the fourth quarter in time of possession and being able to not only get the home run play, but to really just chew up the yardage. Derrick Henry has brought a little bit more to the Ravens than Saquon has. But you're splitting hairs because both of them have made a monster impact for both of their teams.
So we'll hear from Saquon coming up. Now, the Eagles were still just 1-for-3 in the red zone, so there is plenty of room for improvement. No turnovers, though. That's been huge for them. 228 rushing yards. And I like what they did on third down, too. The 9-of-16, a lot of that speaks to whether or not you've got a back or multiple threats that you can use in those situations. As for the Commanders, If you're including fourth down in there, they were 4 of 14 on third and fourth down. And, yeah, not a great offensive night for them, which is certainly understandable when you have a rookie quarterback. Jaden Daniels has been so good. And then actually, he's not the only rookie. They've got a handful of rookies that are on that offense. And against the tougher teams, against the better teams, we're seeing some of the areas where growth is necessary. But still, love to see this from a team that is just starting out, where they're already kind of exceeding expectations. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So, Marco, did you happen to check your work email today? Or any email today?
I did.
Did you like my reply all?
Oh, yes, I did notice that. Yes. Yes, I did notice that. I didn't know where you were going with this one. I got to be fair. I forgot. I did see the reply all, yes.
I have not done that in probably a decade, if ever. I don't think I've done it here before, but you know that sinking feeling, like, oh, no.
You knew immediately?
Facepalm Friday. No, I didn't. So here's how I found out. I actually didn't know immediately. I thought it was just David and Pete on the email. That's why I went ahead and did the reply all. But as I'm like, ah, great, checking off my list, got my vacation schedule in, just under the deadline. And then I see these emails popping up, like these server emails. Cannot send, address not available, return to server, because there's a, like, for instance, producer Jay, he's still on that email chain, but he's no longer got an email address here.
Okay.
So I see these.
See, I would know that. I've never replied all.
Oh, great. So now you know. So I've got all these return to server or return to sender emails popping back at me, and I'm thinking, what is this about? Oh, no!
It could have been worse.
Oh, it could have been a lot worse.
No, it could have been that you were hacked.
Oh, I could say that.
Wow.
With my vacation schedule?
No, that someone was in your email.
Yeah.
Well, oh, gotcha. That's true. That, oh, my gosh.
I just meant that. I thought you were going to say it could have been worse because it could have been a company-wide email opposed to just.
Could you imagine?
Oh, yeah. It could have went Odyssey-wide. No. Some of those emails are.
Oh.
Yeah.
God.
Instead of just, you know, Infinity Sports Network.
I blame David. He said reply to Pete, too. And I was like, all right, reply all. Let's go.
Yes, blame David. That's it.
Anyway, so smartass Andrew, who works on the show After Ours, replies, enjoy Houston.
He's saying his thanks to you.
And then
getting the schedule.
And then our friend David Shepard, who hosts in the same time slot on the weekends, replies, in all fairness, it's one of the most polite reply alls I've read in quite some time.
Wow. He's not wrong about that.
How many people replied to you on this?
Oh, many. I got many replies. And see, the thing is, probably no one saw my follow-up, which was, sorry! No, people just see the reply all, and they're like, oh, I'm not answering it or looking at any more emails.
There was a follow-up?
There was. See what I mean? No one sees the follow-up because it stacks, like Pete was talking about. Cardinal Sin, the office faux pas. What about you? I need an office faux pas from someone else so I don't feel like a stooge.
I'm sure I have many that I can't. I never did a reply all that I'm aware of. If I did, I didn't know it. So, no, I don't know.
So maybe,
I'm sure.
Maybe Darren Rizzi. He's the one that's going to make me feel better because he clogged the office toilet. Remember?
If that makes you feel better, then yeah.
No, I mean, it doesn't. But
I'm sure that's been done here, too. I don't know of any specific examples, but I'm sure it has.
Unfortunately, we've seen specific examples.
Well,
oh gosh, it was one of those. As I say, facepalm emoji.
I have done a text to the wrong person.
Oh, that too. Yes,
bad
and those
ones.
Are embarrassing. Oh, wow. What kind of bad?
No,
ones?
like bashing that person.
Oh, stop it! You have not.
Wait. No, this I need to hear. You sent a text bashing someone.
How did that
to
happen?
Them?
Yes.
Because
I was multitasking once,
and they were on your brain that you wanted to bash them right to their face.
But my policy is, whatever I send in word form, I will always defend. So when that happened, I said, I stood up for myself and I defended myself. That's it.
Even though you're bashing someone, how do you defend yourself?
Pete, it's kind of hard to run from it. If you send me a text calling me a jerk,
piece of crap,
it's kind
of
hard for you to run from it.
I hate this dude. Can we get rid of him? Can we fire him?
But it was more constructive criticism.
Oh.
It wasn't exactly like...
Was it received
constructively? So it's not just your personality. It's just that you're incompetent, too.
Right,
it's different. Okay. All right.
Was it received constructively?
Yeah, the person laughed.
Oh, okay, phew. I would say, now this, I don't know if this happened to, actually, I think it did happen with a fellow employee where my phone auto-corrected S-E-C-S as in sex, so like seconds, but I shortened it to sex, to S-E-X, and then I sent it. Oh, no, that was embarrassing. It was a guy, and so it was obviously very embarrassing. But
that would be interesting.
If anyone else wants to share a texting or emailing faux pas with us, please come join the crowd on the island. Somehow Marco cannot think of anything.
Not that. Like, look, I'll be fair.
He has. He barely has a smartphone.
No. See, that's the.
You do now. You didn't for years.
I had it for a decade. Yes, I didn't have it for a long time. And a decade is not a long time when you consider people have probably had it for 20 years. Yes. However, what this stems from is two things. One, my brain can't think of just all these things off the top of my head because nothing sticks out.
Oh, but you can remember every quarterback matchup of every Super Bowl that's ever been played?
Yes, because that's important to me. There's a difference. And on top of it, you also remember, I don't talk to a lot of people, especially people at work. So
that's
like,
true.
I don't reply to any of these emails. I don't, I'm not involved in a lot of this stuff.
That's a good policy to go by.
Yeah, well, and even
would
texting.
You do me a favor? Would you send your vacation schedule reply all so I feel better?
No, but I haven't actually replied to that email yet. I need to send my vacation in.
I haven't done that yet. It's a reminder to everyone else. All right, we need some texting and emailing faux pas here on the show. At A-Law Radio, 855-212-4227. It is a Hall of Flame induction on this edition of the show. So early next hour, you'll get the candidates. And trust me, they include Darren Rizzi. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Mr. Perfect, Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
And AM was sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, your furry friends with Life electronic device and pet health insurance. Tough sledding for most of the night, but the Eagles able to bust loose in the fourth.
Hurts under center. He goes with a pitch to Barkley. Barkley across the 30, 25, 20, 15, 10. Goodbye! Hello. Another one.
Hello.
He's
unbelievable.
Pair of touchdown runs for Saquon Barkley in the fourth, part of a 26-carry, 146-yard night. Eagles topped Washington 26-18, now first place in the NFC East. Call courtesy of the Eagles Radio Network. Philly, 20 points in the fourth. Put this one to bed. Jalen Hurts, 221 yards passing, another 39 on the ground and a score. Jaden Daniels threw for 191, touchdown and a pick. Eagles 8-2, Washington 7-4. Elsewhere, Tyreek Hill opting to wait until after the season to have wrist surgery, deciding to play through the pain during the year. Chiefs lost kicker Harrison Butker to a knee injury. He was placed on IR. Bills expected to have Amari Cooper back against Kansas City. He would be playing with a cast for his injured wrist. Just one game in the NBA, and it came right down to the wire.
Lucas guarding John Collins. Clarkson with 5 on the clock. Now starts the play. Bullets into Collins, who's unguarded. It dunks. Luka forgot his man.
Look at Clarkson.
Jordan Clarkson with a one-hand bullet. John Collins, who grabbed it and dunked.
John Collins, 28 points, including that go-ahead dunk. Jazz up in the Mavericks, 115-113. Luka Doncic had 37, but that defensive lapse allowed Utah to escape with the victory. Call courtesy of the Jazz Radio Network. College football, East Carolina outscored Tulsa 38-31. Hockey, the Lightning handed the Jets just their second loss on the season, 4-1. Flyers outlast the Senators 5-4 in overtime. Rangers able to withstand the Sharks 3-2. Devils ripped the Panthers 6-2. Sabres escaped the Blues 4-3 in overtime. Islanders roll the Canucks 5-2. Kraken top the Blackhawks 3-1. Stars dominate the Bruins 7-2. Edmonton able to upend the Predators 3-2 in OT. And the Wild shut out Montreal 3-0. And Tropicana Field unable to be played due to hurricane damage. Rays announcing they're going to play their home games at the Yankee Spring Training Facility for this season. I'm Marco Belletti.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call. 855-212-4227.
Remember, we asked you to start our last show. Are you a good news first or bad news first type of person? I easily could have phrased this whole email gaffe in a good news, bad news type of situation. Could you imagine getting a call or getting a text from manager David? Well, there's good news and there's bad news. Which one would you like first? The bad news is that your email went out to the entire company. The bad news is that the entire company now knows when you'll be away from home for the holidays. The good news is, hey, you can have those days off. Something along those lines.
There you go.
Our poll, by the way, was overwhelmingly almost 3-2. Bad news. Actually, it was even more than that. Let me think if I would say it was 3-1. 3-1, looking at the numbers, kind of extrapolated numbers from Facebook. 3-1, bad news first is what most people told me. 855-212-4227. Carol is in Cleveland. Carol, help me out.
Oh, my. This is a good one. I worked for a large delivery service, and we were a cross-dock operation, and the merchandise would come in at night and go out for delivery the next morning. Well, occasionally, merchandise would come in damaged or wouldn't come in at all, and we'd have to call the customer in the morning to tell them that their delivery was not coming, and they would have already taken the day off work, and we had to offer them a refund of their delivery fee, and we had to send emails to our district headquarters. Well, the system was so kind to me. I must have misspelled inconvenience, because the email that I sent out requesting a refund for the customer read, please refund delivery fee due to incontinence instead of inconvenience.
I knew that was coming. I knew it was coming as soon as you said autocorrect. Oh, no.
And I immediately texted back and said, please excuse me. I know this is going to make your bulletin board.
Oh, my gosh. That's embarrassing, too. I feel better now. Thank you, Carol. And I appreciate you listening. I hope you have a great weekend.
Oh, I've had many sleepless nights listening to you. I really enjoy your show. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. We're glad to keep you company. That's great to hear, Carol. Thank you.
Okay. Goodbye.
Not inconvenience, but incontinence. Awesome. Nikki in Dallas, hang on. We'll get to you. I've got a couple Facebook posts as well as tweets at A-Law Radio. I'm looking for a little help here. A reply all, texting the wrong person, an autocorrect that got you, something that makes me feel better about my cardinal sin office gaffe. I feel like I should be on the show with John Krasinski, Steve Carell in the office. 1 hour down, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.